You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The lowest jobless claims in 52 years. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. 184,000 people filed for first-time unemployment claims last week, meaning that many people lost their jobs. But in a country of 331 million people, that is, in the end, not only a small number, it is the smallest it has been since 1969. Let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist at tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, as we do on Thursdays. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So a 52-year low sounds like a big deal. What do you make of that number?
Well, what we're seeing is the economy is booming and the labor market is healing, and that's extremely welcome news. But with a booming economy, we have something we haven't had in a long time as well, and that is heat, and that is inflation. We're going to see the inflation numbers for November come out tomorrow, released by the federal government, and the year-over-year increases in inflation will easily exceed 6.5% and be the hottest pace for inflation that we've seen since inflation was coming off the double-digit rates of the early 1980s. It will be the strongest inflation number since 1982.
Oh, wow. I mean, do you think it's going to get worse than that, or do you think we're kind of cresting?
We are beginning to crest. The good news is that energy prices are not likely to move up as much as they've moved up this year, and year-on-year comparisons get easier. That said, other prices, we're seeing a more broadening of inflation, things like shelter costs, rents in major downtown areas, and rents for homes and rents for apartments more broadly. All of those costs are moving up along with medical costs. And that inflation, that broadening of inflation, is what will worry the Federal Reserve, even as inflation comes off the highs of late 2021.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Semiconductors are still in short supply globally. We know that's hit auto manufacturers. Toyota had to cut production 15% last month because of not enough chips. But there's another industry that's dependent on semiconductors, and it is particularly important this time of year, video games. The hottest video game consoles are already hard enough to find around the holidays oftentimes, but this year it's especially bad. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports.
Since Sony's PlayStation 5 debuted last year, Russell Massey says he's tried in vain to score one as a gift for his 18-year-old son.
We're talking birthday present, high school graduation present, going away to college present. I mean, you name it.
Massey keeps an eye on social media accounts that post alerts about PS5 drops from online sellers. But by the time he clicks add to cart,
you know, within like 2 seconds, it's sold out. I feel like I'm just getting beat out by the bots.
Bots probably have something to do with it, says Olive Vellante, a supply chain analyst with Forrester. But there's also a simple supply and demand problem. There's been a pandemic boom in gaming and, Vellante says, a global shortage in computer chips and other tech hardware.
When everyone goes back to work and we're not playing as much, that's when we'll start seeing it ease up.
Vellante says she expects the gaming console shortage to stretch well into 2022. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Congress right now, specifically congressional Democrats, are at odds with one another over how to re-energize the United States semiconductor industry, which has fallen far behind globally. Specifically, there's a bill called the CHIPS Act. There's $52 billion in there to help build domestic production of these computer chips. Congressional Democrats disagree over how much to give to chip companies versus how much to spend on basic research. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo has been making the case for Congress to do something and says the chip money is not a handout to companies.
Our $50 billion, which is the amount coming out of the CHIPS Act, is a drop in the bucket relative to what the private sector will have to invest. And the reason we have to do it is because we need this stuff produced on American shores, particularly the most sophisticated chips, which are used in the most sophisticated military operations. This is absolutely not a free lunch for these companies. They are large, they are profitable, and we're going to hold them accountable to put skin in the game. But it's this, because this is a national security issue, an economic security issue, and we're in such a bad situation. We make 0% of the world's most sophisticated chips in America. It's appropriate to do some kind of industrial planning to incentivize domestic production.
Job openings reached a near record level in October. 11 million open positions, yet another sign of how hard it is for some businesses to find workers. Restaurants in particular are still having problems. But other parts of the economy are doing a little better. They're finding people, in particular, state and local education. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
The report found that education was a bright spot in October when it comes to jobs.
Job openings and hires rose as quits ticked down.
Elise Gould is a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. She says that's an encouraging sign, given that employment in education still hasn't returned to where it was before the pandemic.
Particularly state and local education employment, which we know has still been pretty far below its pre-pandemic levels.
A lot of the new hires in October were in educational support roles.
For every teacher, there are janitors and secretaries and cafeteria workers, you know, who support that teacher.
That's labor economist Teresa Ghilarducci at the New School. She says many of those workers lost their jobs early in the pandemic. Now that schools have reopened this year,
we're seeing teachers come back and then the two or three workers that support each teacher also coming back.
School districts have also benefited from government relief aid, says Nick Johnson, who follows state fiscal policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
That was so important to enabling states and localities, including school districts, to have the resources to bring workers back.
Despite that, Johnson says school districts still have a lot of unmet staffing needs, especially when it comes to public health.
You know, schools still need school nurses. We still need folks out there helping with outreach on immunizations.
Whatever the specific needs, state and local governments in general took a big employment hit when the pandemic started and have only brought back a fraction of the workers they lost. He says that's worrying, given the role local governments play in an economic recovery.
States and localities spend most of their money on healthcare, education, human services, things that are really critical to the recovery for families and communities.
The Labor Department found that excluding education, state and local government hiring fell in October. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, Well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.